Jesus, will you please help me open with a moment of silence for the addict who still suffers, followed by the serenity prayer. God,
give
us serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. All right. Could we have the reading We Do Recover up here, please? At the podium. There's no podium.
I'm Allie, I'm an addict.
Oh, hey, Allie.
Hi, Allie. We do recover. When at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative, either go on as best we can to the bitter end, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thanks, Allie. I would like to introduce the first speaker, Nakia P., from the Miracles at Work group of NA in the Sawana area.
Can I stay?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi guys, I'm Nikia. I'm an addict.
Hi, Nikia.
So I know I just said the prayer, but like I need to be prepared to say the prayer and start over and reset myself. You can join me if you wish. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. So like, I think they asked me to do this probably at some point in July, and I've learned to immediately say yes, because if I have time to think about it, I'm going to talk myself out of it. I'm going to find myself to be inadequate, and then they're going to give me a topic that like I feel like I am the epitome of the poster child of not doing those things like I should be. You know, but luckily, like, I am grounded in the basics of NA. And I knew what to do about it. So like I talked to people and I was given really good advice. And as I'm talking to people, asking them how to share on these topics, you know, like everything that I was saying to them, they reminded me that like all those things I'm talking about are exactly unity and service. So I guess I start like what it was like, what happened and what it's like now. And I never really give too much about what it was like because I feel like we all know what it was like. Or we wouldn't be sitting here, because it'd be really weird to be sitting here if you didn't know what it was like. Aside from my daughters, and it's a beautiful thing to bring them with me today, they support me, they love me, and they want to spend time with me. And that's because of this program. I'm not going to say anything that they don't already know. I've been very honest with them since I changed my life, and I don't think anything that I can tell you can shock them. And then I have this beautiful soul to share this with me who I know will pick up and remember to tell you all of the things that I forget and all of the areas I lack in. So I grew up in a like completely normal home. My parents were together. They are still together. I'm an only child. And I had a really good childhood. My dad worked and he taught me to be a hard worker, to be reliable, and to give 100% all of the time. And if I wasn't willing to give 100%, I was in the wrong place. So I grew up with those ethics from him and 120% love from my mother. To the point where like, I think she loved me too much. She smothered me, she suffocated me, but I know that she did it because she loved me that much. I had like really strict rules. Up until graduation, I was never able to attend a party after a football game. I had an 11 o'clock curfew on the weekends. Like I never experienced the world that I was about to step into. You know, and I think that a lot of the reason that I stepped into that world and like went out of control was because as soon as I got a little freedom and was able to like experience the party, it was fun for me and it was new and I went way hard, way too fast, and I crossed the line. And I was an addict before I knew it. And I was getting sick without having any idea what was happening to me. And I was stuck really quickly. My addiction progressed to the point where there was no turning back. But yeah, it was horrible and it was sad and it was disgusting. And I caused a lot of pain to myself and to everybody around me, everyone that loved me. I can tell you that it took me at least, and these are the times that I can remember and put on paper at one point, at least 18 trips to treatment, even more times than that attempting to quit. But I never put together any amount of clean time where I was working on anything and being a true member of Narcotics Anonymous and working any steps. So like the way I see it, I don't think I ever really relapsed. I think this is seriously my first shot at this, and so far so good. The only thing I do successfully on a daily basis is not pick up a drug or a substance, and I do not put anything in my body unless I am sure I know what I'm putting in there and it is not a substance. Yeah, so I'll tell you about like my last experience using before my final trip to rehab thus far. It was my, I'm probably gonna cry and I said I wouldn't. It was my best friend at the time's daughter's third birthday. And I was supposed to be there, it was a Wednesday night. But I couldn't stop using long enough to get to her party. And before her party was over that night, I was laying in my driveway dead and blue. And thank God my boyfriend realized that I had went outside and came out to check on me. I think it took 6 or 7 Narcans and 27 minutes of pumping my chest to get me to breathe. You know, like, and I still believe that he would still be pumping on my chest today if I had not woke up. So a couple mornings later, I walked into treatment, and that was November 17th, 2018. So I'm still a newcomer. I'm still learning. I progress every day. I've been given so many beautiful opportunities, and it's afforded me this life that like is beyond my wildest dreams. I don't know why I deserve this. I don't know why I am so lucky that I get to be a mother and be a member of Narcotics Anonymous and be here today to tell you about it. But like I've learned to not question God. I've learned to accept what I'm given and to try to not control everything and to just roll with the punches, because the God in my life, the higher power that I found and that I've learned to know and love and trust, will never steer me in the wrong direction. There will be pain and there will be lessons, but as long as I learn from it and don't continue to repeat the things that caused the pain and the lessons that I've learned from the pain, I can try to do better the next time. So about 9 months after I got clean, this insane organization decided that it was a good idea to give me a shot at working there. And I honestly think that if I had not taken every single step that I took along the way, I would not be sitting here today. For a lot of people, I hear say that's way too early to do the job that I was about to do. But man, I took a job in treatment, and like seeing the pain on a daily basis of the people walking in the door, desperate for hope, like changed my perception of ever wanting to go back to that. It was no longer fun, and it took a long time. The treatment center that gave me that chance was the treatment center that I walked into on November 17th. So I went through their program and I stayed in treatment for 6 months. That definitely plays a huge role in the fact that I am still clean today. I took enough time from this crazy party world to remove myself and start thinking clearly and find a higher power. Oh, hi. I didn't know you were here. So like when I found that higher power in the beginning, like I went through all kinds of emotions. I didn't know what I was feeling and I didn't know what I believed in, but I know that I believed in something because I felt something in this treatment center. And it was strong and it was solid, and it is where the basis of my unity was found. And eventually that wasn't going to be where I ended up. And I've been back and forth with where I am today a couple of times. I quit working there about a year in, and I went to another treatment center. And then about a year after that, I decided that, you know, working in inpatient treatment was not for me. And I made this choice after thinking a lot and thinking that it was like the best decision for my life to go somewhere else and work for a nonprofit organization. And that is the beginning of a really crazy process for me. So I worked there for a few months, and I had a sponsor. I've had the same sponsor for 8 years, and if you do the math, I haven't been clean for quite 4 yet. So she stuck by me and supported me for a really long time, waited for me to find the strength to surrender. So like throughout that summer, I quit working for this organization because what my sponsor in NA taught me was, on a daily basis, if I'm doing something that is like taking away my sanity and depleting my happiness, to make a change. So I made that change, and in the process I lost my sponsor and I lost my sponsee family. So like, I came from this beautiful home as a child, like my childhood was so normal, and like what NA and the basics and the program and the meetings and the steps and the sponsee sponsorship relationship taught me was so broken. So like, I like to say that I come from a broken home. And I'm not talking about my childhood, I'm talking about my NA home. That happened almost a year ago. It took me a really long time to start showing up to my home group consistently because my sponsor walked away from NA and decided that it wasn't for her. And I felt betrayed. I was extremely resentful. I was extremely confused. And I was extremely hurt. And when you put those three things together, it is a miracle that I'm sitting here today clean and giving a lead at an event for NA, because I didn't feel like this was my home for a long time. Luckily, that breakup brought my very best friend today and myself so close that she is the glue that holds me together on a daily basis. And she's not here today because that fucking bitch chose to work. but like, if you knew her, she saved my life. She saves my life daily. And there's people in these seats today that like support me and see me at my worst and encourage me to continue. And, you know, when I know that they have no idea that things are going to be okay, they tell me they are. And because of that, like, I'm still here. And that's my unity. The people that I see on a daily basis who know when something's wrong, who know when I'm not right, and who know just what to do to get me out of it. I'm here to tell you today that on Wednesday night I have something planned where my house will be filled with my ex-sponsee sisters, because every single one of us has stayed clean through this crazy process that I just told you about. It's beautiful that like through all of the damage and all of the brokenness, the unity remains strong because we all work a program and we all work the steps and we all change the way we are. And we stuck together. We might not have been together through it all, but we stuck together, and you know, it's a beautiful end to a really shitty chapter of a really long novel. I can't wait to see what the next chapter brings. It's just really cool. How long am I supposed to do this? This is longer than I've ever gone, guys. This is great. I'm doing better. So, I mean, that's a lot about what it's like today. And service for me, like, I'm shitty. The balance, like, I work full time, and my position, in my perception, is very consuming. So, like, in the beginning, I swear to you, I went to a meeting every single day for at least 9 months. You know, and then I started working full time, and I started, like, becoming a mother. And, you know, to be a mother, you can't be I couldn't be leaving every night for 3 hours to be at a meeting. So, like, my meeting attendance dropped, but I continued to work the steps. I continued to call a sponsor. When my sponsor walked away, like, I immediately talked to another woman, and I've been really bad at that. Like, I have not finished a step in almost a year. I do work on it occasionally, but I keep going back and starting over because, like, I keep changing. And I have these amazing people in my life who don't put substances in their body, and they're not all members of Narcotics Anonymous, but they've kept me from going back out there through this process. So, like, I'm not as involved in NA and service as, like, my mind tells me I should be. And that's okay, because this is service. And saying yes as soon as I'm asked to speak is service. And my job is not service, but what I do when I'm at work is I pay attention. And if I see someone struggling, I take the time, no matter what is going on, to talk to them, to make sure they're okay, to remind them that, like, I'm an addict as well, and your life can be beautiful, and you don't have to live like that anymore. I still go to meetings. I talk to, oh my God, I have so many friends, it's insane. I talk to at least 7 women on a daily basis, every single day. And so the balance in my life has changed from going to a meeting every day and needing NA to get through the day without picking up to, like, being a mother and being of service to my family. Because first and foremost, today, I'm a mother before I am anything else. I might not always be the best mother. I get in really bad moods, and I'm really impossible, and I nag, and I'm not the best girlfriend. Like, my poor boyfriend is a saint. He is a saint. You know, and I'm a daughter. I show up for my mother, even though it took a lot of step work to forgive my mom, because when I first got clean, I blamed her for smothering me when I was young. But she did the best. She went above and beyond to love me and teach me. And, you know, she's got a lot of shit through this as well, because, like, I created my addiction created a monster. You know, and we have a beautiful relationship today. And do you know, like, what changed everything for me was when I quit calling her crazy and started calling her emotional. Just, like, simple things like that that I changed in my life that, like, NA taught me, brought us to this, like, really healthy point in our relationship where we know how much time we can spend together before we make each other insane. But, like, just helping an addict on a daily basis, or whenever I see anybody that needs anything, if I am capable, I will try. We were driving on Route 30 by Kingston the other day, and there was a crazy gentleman with no shirt on the side of the road. And, like, my first thought was, oh my God, is he trying to jump out in front of somebody? Is he trying to kill himself? We got to go back. And I had my daughter and her boyfriend in the back seat, and Aaron was driving. Oops, sorry. My boyfriend was driving. And we looped around because 30's one way. We looped around, we got back around, and he's still there. And we see him, and he looks kind of crazy, and there might have been a substance involved. So we pulled up and we pulled over, and I tell the kids to stay in the car. And I open the door and I turn around and I look at him and I said, are you okay? And he's far enough away that I can't really hear him. But he froze like a little boy, like a child. And then something happened and he started charging at our vehicle. So at that point, like, when I'm putting myself and my family in danger, I get back in the car, but, like, I stopped. I know that, like, I used to be an asshole about my boyfriend wanting to stop and help someone change a tire. Like, I had somewhere to be. I was on a time schedule. Like, that person can deal with their own problem. And, like, today I'm less like that. Not all the time, but I'm less like that. You know what I mean? And that's because NA taught me to be of service when I can, to always help the next person who's struggling. I don't know. I'm going to let Rich finish up. Thank you guys for being here, and thank you for listening. It was an honor.
All right, I would like to introduce the second speaker, Rich M. from the NA Way to Live, NA Way to Live group of NA in the WE area of NA.
Hi everybody, my name is Rich, I'm an addict.
Rich.
I'm glad to be here today in this heat. They should build a bigger fire. In case I get the chills or something, but I got a call a little while ago to, and I seem to always get calls. I don't know, maybe you guys down the road, maybe you'll get hit like this, but you'll get a call and they'll say, hey, can you come speak? And you might tell yourself, oh man, yeah, okay. And then they'll say, on unity and service. And you're like, so anyhow, but I got the call to speak on unity and service. And I got kind of excited myself because that's right up my alley, actually. And I'm thinking, all right, this is cool. So what I did is, if you're like me and somebody says, do you know the definition of honesty? And you say, why, yes, I do. And you tell them the definition of honesty, but it's a little off from the Webster's Dictionary version, like me. You're going to ask me, I know a lot of shit about nothing. So I got these subjects, and I've been involved in both of them for quite a number of years, but I said, you know what, I'd do myself a favor and look these words up. So when I come up and tell you about unity and I tell you about service, at least my experience, I'm not up here to give you, you know, any other version than my own experience and what I found out. But I did look these up. So I want to tell you what it is, because I can, if you're like me, you can read the definition out of a dictionary, right? And then 5 minutes later, someone would say, what is the definition, since you was in that dictionary, what's the definition? And I'd be like, I remember like two words. So I'll fill in the other words myself, and it goes further and further away from what is actually in a dictionary. So what I'm gonna do is I'll tell you what I read, and then I'll tell you my experience with these two words, because this is really cool. I mean, it's like really cool. I looked at it, I'm like, holy shit, is that really what it means? So I'm gonna try not to swear today, but I do mess up every once in a while. So, service, an act of kind service. It is a contribution to the welfare of others, all right? So with that in mind, when we're thinking about service, we're talking about others, right? That's what the dictionary's telling me, and I'm cool with that. I might have had a little different version of that myself, a few other words that probably don't mean shit. Unity. Continuity without deviation or change. And then I said, well, here you go. Here's a damn definition that gives you another word. I don't know what it is. Continuity. Right? So I looked that up and it says uninterrupted or continuation without essential change. So there's some definitions that I can work with today. And what I know about unity, and I think unity is like extremely extremely important in Narcotics Anonymous, but I also know that it goes hand in hand with service. Unity is like togetherness to do a purpose, basically. You know what I mean? For us to do something as a whole for one thing, right? And you know what our basic text tells us we're supposed to be doing? Carrying our message. So unity, anytime we're involved in unity, which is a lot. I mean, holy, I looked at my stuff. I'm gonna kick back here a little bit, people. There you go. I might as well light up a cigarette too while I'm at it, huh? But, so I looked at my, you know, how do I practice unity? How can we practice unity? I mean, and I'll tell you a couple examples that I know of as far as unity goes. When we go to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and we have readings, those readings are kind of universal, right? I mean, if you go into a meeting, who is an addict? We all know our readings. Some of us know them off by heart. I mean, we could literally spew them off, right? So if I went to a meeting in New Stanton in my home group and we're doing the readings, and then I decide to fly out to Los Angeles to attend a meeting out there, and they have the readings, right? This is what they're trying to tell us about unity, right? That is unity. That is our common welfare, and I'm not trying to get into any traditions or anything like that, but that's sort of what they're talking about is our common welfare, which is carrying the message to addicts. So anything that we do in unity. You notice the name of this retreat here? Louisville Mountain Highlands Unity Retreat. It's not a spiritual retreat, it's a unity retreat. Where a bunch of us come to get together, right? We hold workshops and speaker meetings. We gather around a campfire at night. We bullshit, we laugh, we joke, we go around. I told some people that I come up with today, some new guys, I said, don't worry about eating. You know why? Because we're gonna circulate from each campsite. Right? We're gonna go around to each campsite, especially when it's dinner time or lunch time. That's when we're gonna show up. And you won't have to worry about eating. Now what's that gotta do with the topic today? That's unity. I mean, I'm serious business. That's unity, right? We can go anywhere and hear the same thing. I can go to California and hear the same message of NA as I hear in New Stanton. That is continuity of our message, right? It's pretty, like, it's universal. It kind of happens. Our common welfare is to help other addicts. So all of our meetings, unity, right? So I wanted to spend a little bit of time with that so you kind of get an understanding of unity. It is like so big. Our fellowship is so big. We're worldwide. I don't know if you guys know, I think we're in 172 languages. I forget how many. I used to keep up with that shit because of service. I used to know all the stats and stuff because when you're doing service in the public, the public loves stats, so they love to hear how many females is NA, how many males is NA, what was their drug of choice at the beginning, or something like that. But we're a worldwide fellowship. I think it's, I don't know how many meetings worldwide, but it's a lot. I know the tri-state region used to have 601 meetings in the tri-state region alone until COVID came. Now we're at 356. So we're doing pretty good. I mean, we're coming back from all this. But anytime, and I want to talk about service because I've been involved in service almost the whole time that I've been clean. I had 9 months clean. And I got clean up in the Beaver Valley area. So you got anyone from around there that knows Danny H and all those guys from up there. Well, that's the crew that I fell in with when I got clean, was those guys there. So I had about 9 months clean and I was posted up at a halfway house. because that's where we end up, right? And I'm not going to talk about where we end up, where we don't end up. I'm going to talk about service. I'm going to talk about unity. But those guys said, hey, Rich, we're going to go to area service, and you're going to come along. And I said, is there any chicks there? And they said, maybe. I'll go. So I just throw that in just to, because that's real. But I went to area service, and they told me, just chill out. We're going to do this. We have a certain positions here at the area. We're representing home group or something like that. And I can remember sitting in that meeting, and there was a person who was given a public relations report. And I found out right then and there, with 9 months clean, what public relations was. And that's just part of our service structure in Narcotics Anonymous. But all it is basically informing the public of who we are, who we're not, and where we're at. I had 9 months clean right at that time. You know what it's like to get, anyone that's got 9 months clean knows what it's like to have 9 months clean. You're like, shit, this is pretty good, man. You know what I mean? Like, I was up here, man, and I heard them talking about public relations, and I said, you know what? This shit works. NA works because I got 9 months, right? How'd I get 9 months? Coming to NA and like hanging out with NA people and shit like that. And I said, I'd like to join that committee because I want the public to know what I found out. With 9 months clean, which ain't shit, basically. But I thought, I want everyone to know that there's a place for addicts to go that'll help them get clean. But they gotta know about us, right? They have to be able to know about us to come to us, right? So I thought that was really, really appealing to me. And I've been in public relations ever since then because of my love for letting the public know who we are. Because there's a lot of, the public don't understand half of the stuff we do. And I've been involved in PR, and I've done a lot of speaking on it and stuff like that, and I've had a lot of questions from the public. And man, the public just doesn't understand. I had one lady ask me one time, she was in the audience and we were doing a presentation about NA, and she said, my daughter went to NA and she got raped. I was like, and so she's asking me, like, why should I put my eggs in that basket of NA with a story like that? I mean, how do you answer somebody like that, that asks a question like that? You wouldn't even believe some of the stuff that I've heard from the public. I've heard about dealing drugs. Oh, they only deal drugs in the parking lot. Now you can see why I get fired up about PI. I'm like, oh man. Like, I was able to answer that lady about, like, that's not what happens. And I mean, that can and does happen even not in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Your daughter could have went to the damn movie theater and that would have happened. Could have happened. You know what I mean? But as a whole, that does not happen in NA, right? And should we find out about something, we'll have the group take care of that. Or so, I mean, there's ways that, like, and that's being a service, right? And what did I tell you about service, right? Is helping other people, right? I mean, that's what service is all about. And there's many different ways to serve. And I'll tell you one thing I found out about service. I was at the Mid-Atlantic region. They have a convention and a conference out there. And they, goddammit, they put two words together out there and they call it a conventference. Yeah, I never understood that one. I tried to look that one up. Don't look that one up, it ain't in there. You ain't gonna find that one. That's just exclusive to the Mid-Atlantic region. So I was up North Lickner, and this was about 8 years ago. And somebody must have went up and told the programming committee that I might be a candidate to speak. So somebody come up, and I don't know them from a can of paint, but they come up and they said, your name Rich? And I said, yeah. Will you speak for us? And I'm like, well, yeah, I'll speak for you. On what? And they said, well, Here's the deal. It's on a guide to local service. It's Saturday morning at 8 in the morning. And I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Right? That's what I was trying to tell you at the beginning when people come up and they say, Rich, will you share on the traditions? I'm like, why don't you ask me to share about me busting into a damn stereo warehouse in the middle of the night? That kind of, like robbing, pillaging, pilfering. No, you want me to speak on something as boring as the traditions. So they asked me, and I said yes, like Nakia said. When somebody says serve, will you do this for N.A.? I say yeah. I think I said no once, and that's because I was on a fishing trip in New York. I was not available to do, I wasn't gonna be there. I'm not canceling my shit to be a service. But I will drive to Kentucky. If somebody asks me to go to Kentucky to give a lead or do some service work, I drove over to Columbus, Ohio once to do a workshop for PR. But anyhow, the lady told me, she said, yeah, it's 8 a.m. And I thought about that, because it was Friday afternoon. She said 8 a.m. on a guide to local service. I'm like, who the fuck is gonna be up at 8 a.m? And who the hell wants to hear about a guide to local service? If you ever read it, anybody in service knows, oh my God, can it get any more boring than that? So the next morning I get up like a trooper. I get coffeeed up, because I need coffee. I ain't doing shit without coffee. So I drink about a gallon of coffee. 7:30, 7:45, I go down there. There ain't a motherfucker in the room. It's 2:45, I'm thinking. NA people come right at 5:00. Right? We're notorious for, like, no one's at the meeting, then at 5:00, whatever your meeting time starts, whoom, a rush comes in, right? It's 5:00. No one's in the room. The taping guy isn't even in there. About 2 minutes later, the taping guy comes rolling in. He looked around, and I'm looking too, like, 8 a.m, what the fuck do you want? So it's 8:00, the taping guy comes up to me and he says, what do you want to do? I said, turn the goddamn tape machine on. I'm gonna do what somebody asked me to do. And he said, but there's no one here. I'm like, I gotta do what I was asked to do. Whether it's an empty room, I spoke to a fucking empty room. No one came. Two dudes come in about 10 minutes till 9. They come in and I was almost done, and I asked them on their way in, I said, what the fuck are you doing? Better late than never, I said, you know what I mean? So I finished up. That's service. That's what I'm talking about. Like, that is, like, you just do it. No matter, and I've done a lot of public relations workshops where two people come and you're like, and you do them anyhow. You know why? Because I'm trying to help whoever, if it's one person. And Nakia was talking about, you know, working in a rehab and stuff like that. And sometimes that's all we get is one shot in one day to help somebody. That's being a service. A lot of people ask me, because I'm always like on people's ass, if I sponsor you, your ass will be in service. Trust me on that. I will get you somewhere or the other, right? But I got some guys that they don't want to do that. And that's cool. I ain't trying to make anybody be of service, but I'm trying to expose them to that kind of stuff. And I, you know, people are like, I don't want to serve at the region. I don't want to serve at the area. And I said, did I say any of that? I said, be of service, right? So I got some guys, I even do it myself. I'm a coffee maker at my home group on Friday night. Guess what? I'm a service. Right? Anytime you share at a meeting, when it's your turn, and you decide to not be a clam and you decide to share something, you're being of service, right? The chairperson of a region, being of service. There is no service position greater than another one. Like me as serving as a chairperson of the region, or me making coffee, there is no difference. We are both the same. We are both the same. Each one of us has a function. There's a hat for everybody in NA. I'm looking out here, I'm hoping that maybe after today, maybe you'll just go say, how can I be of service? My home group on Friday nights, I'm so much a service person that I come up with my own damn service reading. The World Service Office probably would shoot me because it's not an official reading. It is not an official reading, but you know what? Sometimes I'm like, we gotta help in any way we can. So at the end of our meeting on Friday night in New Stanton, we have something that's called the service reading. And it's a short paragraph. You wanna get involved in service, get involved, right? Many opportunities exist within the NA structure to serve. Home group, area, region, sponsorship, helpline. I just took a call from the World Service Office yesterday. Somebody was trying to go to the Dormont meeting. For those down in Pittsburgh, I see a few down the Pittsburgh area, right? Well, this dude tried to go to Dormont 2 weeks in a row. And the church is locked up, tighter than a damn drum. So my man snitched the Dormont group out by calling World Service Office up. Because he's bitching. He's like, there ain't a damn meeting there. No one's there. Is it closed? Is it open? So they call me because, I don't know, I must be like a glutton for punishment. My name must be on people's fucking phone list or something to call. But they call me up, and it's Jimmy from the World Service Office, and he laid that on me. So I said, look, I'll check into it. I'm being of service, like I'm trying to help. Dude went to two meetings. He didn't get in at a meeting. I'm trying to find out what's going on so that I could call dude back and say, don't have a conniption fit, dude. I got an answer for you. I found out the answer is that's a virtual only meeting. It ain't an in-person meeting, right? And somebody just didn't report that or something to the World Service Office, that's all. There's like a communication breakdown or something like that. And communication is really important to our service efforts and our efforts in unity, right? People need to know if our meetings are open or closed. We have a meeting list for that. So I was being a service yesterday. Like, dude knows, don't go to Dormont on Thursday night at 8:30. There ain't a meeting there. You got to log in and go to Zoomy. Do the Zoomy thing. How many people did the Zoomy thing during the COVID? Whoever put those damn things online or whatever opened those. Unity, service, right? These people that have put their hard-earned time and effort into this retreat here tonight, unity, service, right? They go hand, I mean, they're like interlinked. For those who work in treatment, don't work in treatment, just go to meetings, I urge you to like go to your areas to ask somebody who's serving or has served. That's part of my damn reading at the end. If you don't know what service is, ask somebody what it is. How can you get involved? By asking somebody who's been of service, who are serving, to say, how can I help NA? I mean, there's a bunch of people that'll tell you things to do. Be a greeter at your home group, right? Service. Pick up the phone when an addict calls you. Service. The other night, and I'm just giving you examples of service, so you know what kind of, like it ain't all about showing up a region and holding this, people think it's a high level position. Then I just told you guys that the chair of the region is the same as a person that makes coffee at a home group. There is no higher, you know, it has to do with anonymity. And if you guys hang around here long enough, you'll figure out what anonymity is. Anonymity is like nameless service. right? You do it without a name. So there is many opportunities. We're going to have a helpline workshop up at the convention on Saturday. If you're up to convention this year in Erie, we're going to have a helpline workshop up there on Saturday afternoon about 1 o'clock. That's a great way to be a service. Attend that workshop, get 1 year clean, attend that workshop, and we got addicts to call in. How did I get that information from the World Service Office? Through our helpline. I get the messages every week. I get them on a Friday. As soon as I seen that dude from the World Service Office called, I called. He said, son of a bitch, that tri-state region is quick. I said, well, I only get the messages on Friday, so if you call Monday, I just get them on Friday. He said, no, I just called this morning. I was like, oh, cool. That's like a star for the tri-state region, you know what I mean? And he's like, I'm glad to see your system works there. And he's talking about our helpline system. If nobody's there manning the phones or calling people back, we don't have people serving, guess what happens to our unity? It fucking falls to pieces. If no one opens the meetings up, we fall to pieces. Addicts die at that point. That's why working in a rehab or working, not working in a rehab and doing NA or helping in NA. I just had a lady call me. She ain't in our fellowship or nothing, but her boyfriend is using, he's using to beat the fucking band he's using, right? And she knows I'm in recovery. She says, look, this guy's gonna show up at a meeting. Here's his name. Don't tell him I told you, because I'm getting ready to throw his ass out. All that stuff that we hear from the families of addicts. And she said, would you please help him? So for the last couple weeks, I've been like this. At my meetings that I go to, I've been like this. I know the dude's name. I don't know what the fuck he looks like. But I'm like this, right? Because somebody said, can you help somebody, right? Well, guess what? Thursday night of this week, dude come walking into the group I was at. He sat down. He said, when it was his turn to share, he said, my name's Jess. And I was like, got you. Right after that meeting, my ass flew up to him. I'm like, hi, Jess. My name's Rich. I see you're new to NA. I'd love to help you navigate your way around NA. See, I already waiting for that motherfucker. I already knew who he was, right? And I wanted to help that family member out, because she's like, you're so good with addicts. Please get him. So I was looking for him, right? Service. That's what service is, right? If you want to know, it's about doing good for other people and helping out. And I love what Nakia said about, like, my shit don't end there. You want to get in my back pocket and I'll show you how to be of service outside of the rooms. Like in my community. You know, all the shit I took from my community year after year after year after year. I used to be in your garden. When I was a little funky kid, I was in your garden stealing your peppers at night. I owe a lot, man. I owe a lot. And one of the ways that I can repay is by doing what that lady wanted me to do. Grip that dude up and try to save his life. That's why I like the people to work in the rehabs, or especially us. Some of us addicts who are in recovery and stuff, when we're playing it up in a rehab, and we got the sick and suffering coming in there, who best can help an addict? Another fucking addict, right? I mean, I'm not saying about anything. If you're not an addict, you can't help. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the best path, service, right? So even you could be making a buck at work, in a rehab, collecting a paycheck, doing whatever you do, counseling, teching, whatever you do or anything like that, and you could still be of service. You might have to just be a little cool and cautious about how you do shit. Don't do it like I did when I was there. You might get fucked up a little bit up here. because you might trample on some toes and shit like that. But you see what I mean? Our job, everyone's got one in NA. No matter if you got 30 days clean, 1 day clean, 15 years clean, 60 years clean, our job is to carry the message and to help the addicts. And we're not talking about the ones that just come in that are new. Some of us have been around for a while are coming in with some heavy, all kinds of shit happens to us. So we show up at a meeting, or maybe we'll reach out to the helpline and someone will grip those people up and they'll start to help those people. So it ain't just for the newcomer. It ain't just for people who are sick and suffering. It's for all of us. We can all be of service some way, somehow. Put your damn hat on. Quit showing up to a meeting and fucking getting there 5 till and leaving 5 minutes after or 1 minute after, because I see it happen all the time. People just leave. They go to their car, and I'm wondering, there's people here that probably need to know something you know, right? So you can be of service kind of on the silent type. You know, you ain't got to be all blaring and chairing a big committee or anything like that. You could chair a small committee, big committee, no committee. There's so many ways, and you'll be part of unity, like a whole bunch of fucking people trying to help one person at a time. That's how we do. NA is like that, one person at a time. I don't know too many people who can help a lot at one time, but I know it happens. It's not off the board. But Narcotics Anonymous gets one addict helping another is without parallel. So, I mean, there's service and unity wrapped up. Hey, thanks. I hope you guys understand unity and service just a little bit better. I'll look forward to seeing you guys lined up at an area service meeting or wanting to volunteer at the region or to help. I'll look forward to seeing you at the convention for the workshop up there. And if I don't see you, I might come up and ask you, why didn't I see you there? Thank you.
I would like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. Can we have the reading just for today up at the, up here, at the picnic table?
Look, I'm not doing this alone. It's Cody and Allie come down here. In the spirit of unity, service.
Come on.
Let's do this together. Cody, you remember how to do it, though? I need you and Carl, too.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
You go. Alright, tell yourself, Shannon's an addict, by the way.
Hey, Shannon.
So tell yourself, just for a day, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs.
Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery.
Just for today, I will have a program I will try to follow to the best of my ability.
Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life.
Just for today, I'll be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations. People who are not using will find a new way of life. As long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Just for today.
All right, we have a nice way of closing. If we could form a circle and close with a wee version of the serenity prayer, huh?
We're making a circle again?
Yeah, right. That's on the paper, so that's what we're going to try.